To welcome our
On behalf of my organization, Islamic Society of North America, which is celebrating its 52nd anniversary of its existence, that what that means is it was born on the same day, same month, same year when Martin Luther King had his dream speech in America. So we are the result of that dream. People think that that dream turned America into a more inclusive society in terms of different races and ethnicity. But the fact is that America became more inclusive in these 52 years in terms of religious diversity as well, because a new religion was added to the American religious landscape. So for the last 52 years, we have been involved in that kind of peace building, and the creation of this institute was one of the greatest collective achievements from us, and we work very closely from the very beginning, and we are involved in different ways in different projects nationally and internationally. So it is really a great honor for me to bring to your attention this special book, The Age of Peace. Maulana calls it the re-engineering of mind. So there's another book that was written about 75 years ago. It was called Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. It was written by one of the topmost scholars of Islam, Allama Iqbal. Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. Because at that time, he thought that there has to be a reform in the Islamic theology, Islamic jurisprudence, and so on. And then he thought that in order to have that reform, we should have some state, we should have some homeland where we can introduce that reformed understanding of Islam. But the politicians took the second part of his claim and forgot the first part. That is, they created a homeland called Pakistan, but they did not continue the vision of Allama Iqbal to have a reconstruction of Islamic thought. So today, we are not talking just of reconstruction of Islamic thought. We are talking about, this is a new word, the re-engineering of the mind. So this is a unique book in that sense. But I want to tell you that books of this nature, Maulana's books, because they are introducing a new thought, they are controversial. There are people who like them. There are people who don't like them. And I'm sure that this book will be burned in many parts of the Muslim world. And I'm sure that if it is not burned, it will be banned in many parts of the Muslim world. But I want to say that during the last 52 years, the community that we have created in this country, they are open-minded. They are ready to discuss and debate. They don't support the burning and the banning of the books. This is American Muslim community, and we are proud of that. We hope that it will generate that debate, it will generate that discussion, and that will provide a better perspective to our other brothers and sisters in the rest of the world. So it is with that prayer I am launching this book, The Age of Peace, in the most appropriate place, the U.S. Institute of Peace. You must have seen that this place is very appropriate in terms of its environment, its architecture, and the location. When we come into Washington, D.C., we enter through the Constitution Avenue. The first thing that impresses us is the U.S. Institute of Peace. So I conclude with the prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, He opens up the hearts and minds of everybody and helps us to understand and to discuss what Maulana has to offer us. You know that he is our guest in our 52nd annual convention in Chicago. So I want to invite all of you to come to our convention and to continue the discussion that we will have today. Shukran. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much.
I can say that I visited USA more than 10 times. But this visit is quite different. This time I am here to introduce my latest book, The Age of Peace. I can say that I am a born pacifist. Peace was my subject. I love peace and I wanted to know what is peace. So I studied so many books. Then I published several books on peace. This is my latest book, The Age of Peace. I found that there are so many people who are negative towards modern civilization or modern age. But according to my study, this is wrong. Modern civilization is civilization of peace. Modern age is age of peace. So, after this discovery, I wanted to publish a book with this title, The Age of Peace. Those who are engaged in violence and war, they are doing this due to unawareness. These people don't know the real nature of modern civilization and modern age. You know, there are some difficulties. So they refer these difficulties. They want a civilization that is free of difficulties. That is impossible. That is against the law of nature. Because without difficulty, without problem, there is no progress. When there is problem, when there are differences, it leads to discussion, interaction. And through interaction and through discussion, our journey is continued towards our goal, that is finding the hard truth. So according to my study, present age is age of peace. Present and civilization, modern civilization is civilization of peace. So those who are engaged in violence, I wanted to make them aware of this fact. It is my belief that present age is age of opportunities, but age of opportunity explosion. Everywhere there is open explosion and there is freedom. There is no restriction at all. Everyone can avail this opportunity and can achieve his or her goal. So why fighting? Why hate? Why war? In the present age, war and violence is just to waste your time. If you are engaged in war and violence, you are wasting your time. When there are open opportunities, so you have to avail those opportunities and reach your goal. So this is the purpose of this book. You know, it is a fact that people are generally engaged in wrong activities due to their unawareness. There is a saying in Arabic, "Annasu adaw ma jahilu." And if people are engaged in wrong activities due to their unawareness, so all these strife, hate, and war and violence are due to unawareness. So I wanted to make them aware of the fact so that they may choose peace instead of war. Then as far as Islam is concerned, Islam is religion of peace. You know, the very term Islam has a connotation of peace. It means that Islam is religion of peace. There is a very important verse in this regard. Wallahu yadu ila dar salam. And God calls to the home of peace. It means that it is call of God that people must establish a society of peace, a life of peace. People must live in peace of mind. So positivity is the law of nature. Negative thinking is against the law of nature. And positive thinking is according to the law of nature. So this is the purpose of this book. I believe that those who are engaged in violence and war, they are paying a very heavy price. That is, they are backward. They fail to achieve the higher goal. That is possible for everyone in this age. So I have studied this subject. So many books. And I can say that this book is gist of my study. And everyone who will read this book, he will find that peace is samam bonam. Peace is the greatest good for our life. Without peace, you cannot do anything. Peace is must for all kinds of progress. Religious or secular or any other progress. So this is the purpose of my visit. And I am thankful to you for arranging this meeting and inviting me to address this learning audience. So I'm thankful and may God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Maulana. We're going to now have time for questions and answers from Maulana. And I'd like to start with one question, something that I know, Maulana, you have written about extensively, you talk about frequently, and I know it's an important part of your book here, which is the message that we need to be working for peace without conditions. So I wanted to see if you could say more about that. What does that mean, working for peace without conditions? What does Islam say about that?
I visited some Muslim countries who are engaged in violence. So I asked, why you are engaged in violence? Why this war? They said, yes, we want peace, but we want peace with justice. This was their answer. Give us justice and we will give you peace. So I was struck with this answer. Then I discovered that this answer is unnatural. This answer is unnatural because according to the law of nature, justice is not part of peace. It is very important. It is my discovery that justice is not part of peace. Justice is part of your own endeavor, your struggle. So, according to the law of nature, first of all, you have to establish peace. Peace will open the opportunities. And by availing these opportunities, you can avail justice. Justice or any other rights can be achieved only through your own endeavor. So justice is different and peace is different. Peace gives you base. Peace only can you give base, not the justice. So first of all, you have to establish peace at any cost. It is my belief that peace for the sake of peace. Peace for the sake of peace. So first of all, you have to establish peace at any cost. Then peace will open all the doors of opportunity. And by availing these opportunities, you can achieve your goal. And this formula I discovered in the Quran, from the life of the Prophet of Islam. Prophet Islam was born in a tribal society. At that time, there were age of violence. So Prophet was born in this society. So there was violence, there was war. But Prophet tried to establish peace, and he gave all kinds of price for this purpose. And when there was peace, there was opportunity, and Prophet then availed those opportunities. And the result was that he emerged a successful man. You know, Dr. Hart has published a book, The Hundred. In this book, he says that the Prophet of Islam was supremely successful person. But in this book, you cannot find the method. Why Prophet emerged as supremely successful person? Due to following this formula. The formula of Prophet of Islam was that you have to establish peace at any cost. Peace will open the door, all the door of opportunities, and you have to avail these opportunities by wise planning. And the result is success. This is my finding.
Say your name and possibly your affiliation, and then your question, your comment. Would anyone like to start?
Assalamu alaikum. My name's Arslan Suleiman. I work at the State Department, currently as the acting U.S. envoy to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. I wanted to thank the Mawlana for coming to the United States and for discussing his book, and for all of his delegation members as well. One question that I had was, Mawlana was mentioning that in his studies, he's drawing from the Quran and the example of the Prophet in promoting peace. But today we also have many of these members of extremist groups who look back at the example of the Prophet and the Sahaba during wartime, and they look at these examples and use different practices during battles and other examples as justification for their own violent acts and tendencies. So I was wondering if Mawlana had any comments about that, about how the examples from the past have to be contextualized, and how to distinguish between those examples which have a basis or a context of around violence and those that that don't. Thank you.
It is by finding I discovered after detailed study that war in Islam was due to age factor. It was not Islam's own choice. Islam never wanted to wage a war. But as it was age of tribals, And trouble means age of wars. So, due to this, that they always wanted to engage Prophet Islam in wars. But Prophet always managed those wars. And in Islam, there was no full-fledged war. Full-fledged war means at least 6 days war. Minimum. But there was no full-fledged war. All those so-called wars were skirmishes. Skirmishes. Why? Because Prophet Islam always managed the situation rather than jumping to fight. Then I published a book, Prophet of Peace. I think this book is available here. You can read it. Prophet of Peace. People generally think that Prophet of Islam was Prophet of Violence. It is completely wrong. According to my study, those people were tribal chiefs. They wanted to involve him in war almost 85 times. But in actual sense, there were only 4 wars. Because Prophet always diffused the tension. So, Prophet gave this example that if there are some violence from the opposite party, you have to manage it. Don't respond violently, but respond peacefully. So I have established this fact in my book, The Prophet of Peace. Perhaps this book is available here, and inshallah you can find some time to read it.
Good afternoon. My name is Emre Çelik. I preside over the Rumi Forum, and our president, honorary president, is Mr. Fethullah Gülen. Linking to what was just asked, what do you see as the causes for so many people rushing to such groups? We have a history of now ISIS and Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and numerous other types of groups. What is the reason that so many particularly educated, affluent Muslims in the West run towards such groups? And what do you see as possible or probable solutions for such prevention of the formation of such groups? Thank you.
Very simple answer. I will give you a very simple answer. That is, you have to differentiate between Islam and Muslims. These people are Muslim, belong to Muslim community, but they are not Islam. Islam is an ideology. Islam itself is not a community. Islam is an ideology. So you have to judge Muslims by the teaching of Islam and not vice versa. Then these people are always, and according to my study, these people are remnant of tribal culture. All those people who are engaged in war, they are remnant of tribal culture. So it requires education. I think Muslims are backward in education. By education, I mean modern education. So, the root cause is their backwardness in education. So, simply condemnation will not work. Simply waging war against them will not work. You have to educate these people. Without education, you cannot eliminate this phenomenon. I myself engaged in this cause. I published so many books in different languages. I want to educate these people. So I can say that there are thousands and thousands of people who have abandoned violence due to my limitation, due to my mission. So there is a dictum adopted by UNESCO that violence begins from mind. I would say that peace also begins from mind. If your thinking is peaceful, then your act will be peaceful. If your thinking is violent, then you will be violent. So, education means to make people aware of the fact, to awaken the mind of people. So awakened mind, inshallah, will not do like these things. Only those people who are not awakened, they are engaged in violence. So we are doing in both the aspect, the education and literature. This is the right solution to this problem.
Actually, these modern educated people are misled because of the wrong information, misinterpretation of the ideology of Islam, and full of the internet. There are many sites on the internet which are full of the wrong information, misquoting, and like they have developed the concept of Khilafat, which is totally un-Islamic. There is no verse in the Quran which says that you have to establish Khilafat. So it is full of wrong interpretation of Islam. So we have developed the right interpretation of Islam, and by reading our books, many people in thousands of numbers, they have come back to the right concept, peaceful concept of Islam. So we will have to give them right ideology. And like the Prophet's most important event in the life of the Prophet is Sulh Hudaybiyah, peace agreement. They don't refer to this peace agreement. They will refer to the battles, because in those age, it was the age of religious persecution. The Prophet was propagating Islam peacefully, but because of the age of religious persecution, he was opposed. He was opposed. He was driven away from his hometown, and when he went to Medina, he was attacked 2, 3, 4, see, many times. He always avoided. So they refer only to those skirmishes which led because of the opposition, and they don't refer to the Prophet's stand of tolerance, stand of avoidance, stand of peace treaty. And this peace treaty Prophet had accepted by had made by accepting all the conditions unilaterally, humiliating conditions he accepted, because he knew that once peace prevails, then we can do everything. All constructive activities are possible in peaceful conditions. So they don't refer to all these things which the Prophet did as a matter of ideology. What the Prophet did as a matter of compulsion, because the enemy was attacking him, so he had to defend himself. So they think that is the principle. So it is total misconception, misinterpretation of the ideology of Islam. And they have filled with those things in the internet, and these people are being misled by the information, wrong information on the internet.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sayyid Muqtadir. I'm the president of All Dallas Area Muslim Society, known as Adam Center. Maulana will be honored to host you this Saturday at 6:30. You're all welcome to join us at Adam Center. It should be an honor, Maulana, to have you there. It's all indeed an honor to speak to you today. My particular question is from a wisdom. If you look at the peace process, historically, it has always been a struggle with the political objectives, or nationalistic objectives more than anything else that creates the barrier in peacemaking. In actual peacemaking, in your mind, do you see a role that the political process of the politicians can play that can endure peace rather than violence and so on?
I don't think that political leaders can play a role. Only education. When there is education, there is peace. The one example is the history of Islam. In the early period of Islam, there was this war and violence. But Prophet Islam tried to educate the people. Not in the modern sense. There was no such a schools. But Quran itself was a source of education. There was a universal principle given in the Quran that As-Sulhu Khair, peace is the best. This was Quranic education. Peace is the best. And through peace you can achieve all your goals. But through violence you cannot achieve anything. So Quran itself was a source of education. Then, there was a peace of society. Before Islam, there was a tribal culture. Every day there was war and violence. But Islam was successful to establish peace. It was through education. Quran itself was education. So I don't believe that political leaders control can play a role. History is not, history will not witness to this claim. Only preachers, only spiritual persons, only religious personalities, only educators can establish peace. The greatest role in this regard is educators' role. Education, not in farmer sense. I believe that in formal education and informal education, both can play a role in this regard. And I myself is an educator.
More than a follow up on this question, which was very relevant. Education is important, we all know that. Sorry, my name is Tariq and I'm just an independent consultant nowadays. Now, education is important. But the thing is, we have so many people who have been educated enough in this world. But with that, there has to be, from my personal perspective, has to be a desire of discovery of God. So without that discovery, like in case of Muslims, I can safely say, I lived a long life with Muslims, except your readings, your books. I never came across a single Muslim in the last more than 50 years of my life who ever told me that you have to discover God. Now, when Dr. Saeed was talking about Ilam Iqbal, I sometimes think he was giving a very interesting thought at that time. But the fact is, Muslims ruled India for 7-8 centuries. They had no inhibition. They had no obstacles. But since they had not discovered God, from my perspective, therefore, they never cared about God. And now, when Hindus become a majority during the independence struggle, the same Muslims, because of fear of being a minority, they start looking for a homeland. So I think realities are very bitter. Now, because of that thinking, my question, what bothers me is, why couldn't Iqbal understand this fact at that time, that people like me, I have no interest with God, and they are trying to experiment something in a separate homeland? So all I'm saying is that with education, there has to be an interest in God. Without that, education can lead us nowhere. Thank you.
Yes, I do agree that if you are if you are a believer in God, in true sense of the word, then you are a spiritual person, you are a pacifist, you are a peaceful person. But I think that peace is not religious subject, basically. Peace is a secular subject, basically. It is true that, believer in God will never go to violence. It is true. But peace itself is a secular subject. And I can say that I can refer to Japanese society. Japanese society is a secular society, basically. And they are most peaceful person. Although in the Second World War, there were violent persons, but now they are peaceful persons. So I think that believe in God is greatest good, it's true. But peace can be established through secular ways. Because where there is peace, there is industry, there are all kinds of development. So it is everyone's own interest. Everyone wants to do business, to do all those things that is good for his life or his family's life. So it is everyone's concern to find peaceful situation. So I can say that peace is not religious subject, basically. It is secular subject. It is my belief. Although in Quran and Hadith, there are so many verses that peace. But peace is not like prayer and like Hajj and Zakat. Where there is peace, there is religious activities also. So it is religious concern to establish peace. Because without peace, there is no religious activities. But at the same time, without peace, there are no secular activities. Educational activities, industrial activities. This is my personal belief.
Well, I can't believe it, but we're actually out of time already. You have one more question? Do we need to leave the room immediately, or one more question? Okay.
You talked about re-engineering of minds. How can you re-engineering jihadist mindsets, and how have you dealt it in this book?
Re-engineering of mind means deconditioning of mind. Because everyone is born in a society, and it is society that conditions your mind. Everyone becomes Mr. Condition, Mr. Condition, or Miss Condition. So, it is the first duty of educators to decondition their mind. And deconditioning means re-engineering of mind. Without deconditioning of mind, you cannot expect from people. Because man always think under his conditioning. So, before deconditioning, you cannot make them any objective thinker. Only a deconditioned thinking can think objectively. So, this is the psychological issue. According to psychology, everyone is condition, Mr. Condition, Miss Condition. So if you want to bring about change in life, first of all you have to decondition the mind. Before deconditioning, you cannot bring about any change in their life.
I just want to add something. My name is Rajat Malhotra, and I've been associated with Maulana's Center for Peace and Spirituality for last 15 years. And I come from non-Islamic background. And I can say that, I am a product of, that re-engineering of mind that he talks about. Because when I met him, I was living in hatred and in the concept of we and they. And then, his peace process initiated and, that changed my life completely. And as a result, I'm sitting here in front of you, completely 360 degree, turned around in my life. And I want to give a, real life example as to how, Center for Peace and Spirituality does that. And that is way of, doing several workshops, that we organize. So, in one of the workshops, there were some Muslim scholars, ulemas, who were present. And Maulana was, kind of checking as to, what is their thinking process. So in one of the sessions, he asked one of the ulema that, do you hate, people? So he said, no, Maulana, I am totally free of hate. So he asked him, okay, I want to know, do you hate Christians? So he said, no, I don't hate Christians. So then Maulana said that, do you hate Hindus? He said, no, I don't hate Hindus. He said, do you hate this political party, that political party? So to every question, the answer was no. But the moment Maulana brought about, do you hate Jews? He almost stood up and he said, of course, they are our enemies. We should kill them. So Maulana was able to find out, that in the heart of his hearts, he had this hatred. So then he started, his process, and he said that, do you know that one of the Islamic teaching is that if you have even an iota of hatred, God will not enter you into paradise. So, this whole process of re-engineering is about giving a counter-ideology, telling them that what they are doing is not definitely going to take them to paradise, rather it is going to take them to hell. So unless you make these, these suicide bombers, these jihadis, believe from the very own scriptures that they refer to and tell them that what they are doing is un-Islamic, it is unlawful, and God will not pardon it, they will not move from that path. So Maulana's mission, Maulana's Center for Peace and Spirituality, his work, is actually engaged in doing that. And while I was not a jihadi, but of course I lived in, this hatred concept, and, I am a product of that re-engineering process. So this is all that, he has been doing. And when he says he's an educator, there's several workshops that, we do in Delhi and outside Delhi. And the entire focus is to make people positive-oriented, contributing citizens, towards universal peace. So I just wanted to add to that. Yeah, so Kashmir is one example, and the government of India recognizes Maulana's work, and there are several people, jihadis, who have given up arms, and they have taken, you would be very happy to know that they have taken to the field of education. So and we did several workshops, and in one of the workshops the stone thrower came and he stood up and he said, Maulana, I pledge in front of these 200 people that I would never ever throw a stone, and I would rather give them a book of peace. So that is exactly, what his, center is doing, and his re-engineering process is all about.
Yeah. Well, that's a powerful example to end our discussion. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you all for being here. Maulana, it's been a true honor. Thank you for sharing your time with us, and thank you for being the teacher for so many people around the world, touching hundreds of thousands of lives. We're honored to have you here. Dr. Saeed, thank you also for being here and for introducing us to the Age of Peace. And again, as a reminder, the publications are available to you. And thank you all for being here. Have a great afternoon.